You are listening to BensTorah.com.
What I analyzed today has a major impact on the political phenomenon taking place in America today, and in particular when it comes to the election that's going to take place 7 days from now. I want you to listen very carefully. I'm not talking as a politician. I'm talking as a Rav, as a private citizen, and somebody who's concerned about what's going on today in the United States of America and the world at large. Unfortunately, many people, when it comes to thinking who to vote for, are analyzing the wrong pieces of information and making decisions based upon unfortunate miscalculations that should not be brought into the picture. As I'm going to demonstrate today, and by the time I finish, you'll understand where I'm heading, what should really be thought about when it comes to an election in the United States of America, a country that was built upon the concept of Judeo-Christian concepts of ethics and morals and theology, the belief in God, and God we believe, so it's stamped in our money, the concept of prayer, that God is a major factor in the belief mechanisms of the citizens of our country, and the biblical text that God gave us is a blueprint, how each and every one of us should live our life and connect to our fellow citizen and to connect to God. I want you to listen very carefully as I give you the facts, and hopefully you'll make the right decision when it comes to what's going to happen 7 days from now and the future of the United States of America. In the beginning of the Torah, which we read last week, the beginning of Briyas Ha'olam, when Hashem spoke to Adam and Chava, besides talking about the Isur of the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, our Chazal tell us through Torah Shel Bal Peh and Gemara Sanhedrin, based upon the Psukim in Parshas Bereishis, that Hashem gave Adam v'Chava an entire set of rules and regulations how people in the world at large, at that time the non-Jewish world, are supposed to live their life every day of the year, 365 days of that specific year. There was a blueprint. There was a charter that Hashem gave them of what he expects from mankind when it comes to the daily conduct and behavior, theologically, ethically, and morally as well. And I want to share that with you for you to understand the ramifications of this. The term that's used to connote the initial rules and regulations of human existence on the face of this earth is called the Zaymitzvah B'nai Noach, the seven Noahide laws. In actuality, it should have been called the laws given to Adam v'Chava, the Adam laws, but the reason it was not is because one of the seven rules and regulations given to mankind at that point in time related to something that had no reality at the time of Adam v'Chava. If you read last week's Pasha very carefully, the Rabbanu Shalom wanted mankind at that time to be in a state of nutrition through vegetation. He did not want us to consume flesh of animals as part of our forms of daily nutrition. We were prohibited to kill animals, to eat them. That permissibility to eat animals through killing them beforehand only became a divine halakhic option for mankind after the Mabul took place and the world started again through Noah and his family. So Hashem redefined that at that point in time, not only are you going to survive based upon vegetative materials growing from the ground, but you're now going to be permitted to kill an animal first and then partake of its flesh. The rule of the concept of the Zaymitzvah B'nai Noach that relates to that specific Psak Halacha, given in this specific Parsha Shua, Parshas Noach, is the seventh law of the Bnei Noach, which is the Issa, the prohibition of Eiver Menachai, which means based upon divine law revealed to us, you can kill an animal to eat its body, but to have a live animal still alive and to tear off a limb and to consume it while the animal is still alive, besides being a violation of the divine concept of tzar balei chayim, of causing animals undue pain, which is an iser deraisa in its own level, there is a specific prohibition, an iser of the Bnei Noach halachos, that you're not allowed to do that. You must kill the animal first, and then take the body limbs you want when it comes for human consumption. Since that was not applicable at the time of Adam v'Chava, only six of the seven, as I'm soon going to mention to you, were applicable, and the seventh only became applicable from the time of Noach and onward. So to give the seven rules of the Bnei Noach halacha, the all seven only took place from the time of Noach onward. Adam v'Chava up to Noach, only six of the seven were applicable at that point in time. Now, why should God give us rules and regulations when it comes to our daily life and existence? The simple explanation is the Rabban Hashem wanted us, when it comes to humankind, who are commanded to produce, multiply, have a lot of children, fill the world with human existence. Hashem wanted the world to be a place where there is a stable society. Human beings can live together in harmony, work together, promote love and kindness amongst themselves, have a religious connection to God who created them and created the world. There was a specific reason God felt he had to give them a divine blueprint of how the world should run when it comes to human activity from that point on to the end of time. And to demonstrate this to you, I want to mention what was the charter of the Zaymitzis B'nai Noach. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Sanhedrin very explicitly the following. There is a mandate to create dinim, which will soon mean to have a court system, a justice system, rules and regulations of ethics, morals, and justice in all areas of human endeavor. There's a concept of birchat Hashem, the issa to curse God, a prohibition of avodah zarah, to worship other gods, to worship idols in lieu of God, or even to worship other gods together with God. There's an issa of shvichas adam, to murder human beings. There's the issa of gil arayas, sexual perversities. There's a prohibition of gezel, stealing and taking other people's property away. And the prohibitions I mentioned before of eivah menachai. If you look at this list, it could be divided in actuality in two specific areas. The God-related concepts between Ben Adam Lamakim, between us and God, is the Isa Vaidazara, who is supposed to only have one God in this world, the God who created the universe, any other types of godly entities that are worshipped together with God are biblically prohibited. That's the Isa Vaidazara. And the Isa of Birchat Hashem, cursing God's name, showing disrespect to God. But obviously, this is Ben Adam Mamakim, our relationship we're supposed to have with the God above, who is our creator, who makes sure the world exists and continues to exist each and every day. As we say in our tefillahs, Hashem is Mechadish B'chol Yom Tam and Masa Bereshis. God makes sure that the world continues to exist each and every day of the existence of the world from the beginning of the Bria to the current time period in which we're living in this moment in time. The other concepts of making a court system and rules of justice and ethical moral behavior, the concepts of the Issa Shvichas Dam, murder, Gil Arayas, sexual perversities, Gezel, robbery, this is all Ben Adam L'Chavero. It regulates human society and explains how we're supposed to interact with our fellow human being in a productive, constructive fashion with love and compassion and concern for one another. All these types of avaras I mentioned represent the destruction of mankind and the hatred of mankind, not the loving perpetuation of mankind. So this was going to regulate the Bein Adam Lechavero. So the mitzvahs of the Zayin mitzvahs deal with our divine connection and our human connection. When it comes to the animal kingdom, Isa Eva Menachai, not causing tzar and pain to the animal kingdom, is therefore regulates our behavior between ourselves and the members of the animal kingdom, which are not human. So therefore, this code of law is all-encompassing. It covers all the basics of human relationships in this world. And therefore, it's a very, very good charter, a very important charter that God gave to us to give us a definition how to fulfill His divine will to make the creation of the universe and the earth a successful project. We should succeed in what we're trying to accomplish in this world. By observing these rules and regulations, V'chata b'chaim, it guarantees life and prosperity and happiness and constructive behavior throughout the world if people would adhere to these specific rules and regulations. Now, with this in mind, and this is very, very important to know, we now come to another related concept, and that is where Moshe Feinstein points out that when it comes to the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, you don't have mentioned in them the concept of people who are non-Jews praying to God. And he was asked many, many years ago, is there a concept, a responsibility for a non-Jew to pray to God? And what Rav Moshe Feinstein says is that the concept of the belief that there is a God who created the universe, who is supervising all the activities all human beings perform on the face of this earth, the concept of divine providence, God's hashgacha pratis, the concept of rules and regulations, that if we do what's proper, Hashem rewards us, and if we violate God's divine will, He will punish us, tzchar va'onesh. The concept that God has control of what happens to us, and if a person has a sick person in their house, is in the need of parnasa, other types of tzaras that might confront a person, there's a vehicle with which to connect to God and have the ability to solicit from God the help you need to overcome the esa tzara that's confronting you. According to Rav Moshe, a non-Jew, when they're in a state of an esara, time of crisis, are mechuyev to pray to God as a representation of their divine mandate, to believe that there is a God and a God we're accountable to. And therefore, Moshe Feinstein said that to have people pray to God and to encourage this is something we should do as Jews to the world. As an Erla Goyim, people should feel the dependency and the reliance upon God to sustain every member of their family and the world at large. This is a major hashkafas Torah that has to be understood. When it comes to the ultimate messianic era, when all the tzaris and pain and anguish we're having in our world today will disappear, and the ultimate Mashiach Messiah will come to redeem the world and bring us back to a state of physical and spiritual perfection once again, what's going to happen at that specific point in time is that the Beis HaMikdash that's going to be built, the third Beis HaMikdash, Yeshaya says it's going to be based tefillah chol ha'amim. It's going to be the primary place on the face of this world that everyone, Jew and non-Jew alike, is going to come to pray to God, to bring sacrifices as part of our worship in that specific temple. It's the base tefillah place of prayer for everybody, Jew and non-Jew alike. So prayer is a very important way of connecting to God to show you're dependent upon God and you believe that God can help you accomplish what you want in this world. That's a universal concept that must be transmitted to the world at large. And thank God there are many, many religions out there, monotheistic religions, that preach this, So that concept has been disseminated on the face of this earth. There are some people who reject it. They're atheists. They don't believe there is a God. But I'm not going to get into that now. What I want to get into now is some of the Shemis B'nai Noach that relate to our concerns today, what's happening in society. What I'm talking about now has major concerns when it comes to the stability of society at large, the safety in the communities in which we live, the ability for human beings to be able to flourish and to have the ability to live a nice, happy, physical and spiritual life in a state of safety. One of the most important institutions of the Zayin Mitzvahs that's supposed to guarantee all of these safeties is the Mitzvah of Dinim, establishing a court system that has not only courts, but rules and regulations, like we have in Choshen Mishpat. The Goyim have to make their own Choshen Mishpat to regulate human society. Interactions between human beings should be regulated. There should be rules and regulations, how you do things in this world, how you conduct business, how you relate to one another in all different types of areas of human activity. We're supposed to have dinim in this world. And if we have dinim, that means there'll be stability to mankind, stability to society at large, because these rules and regulations will be the guidepost how everybody's supposed to conduct themselves. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, and this is a very powerful statement, if it wasn't for the concept of a governmental entity that has a certain level of awe and power to influence the behavior of the citizens of their country, and the realization if you violate the rules and regulations of the dinim of that country, you violate the constitution and all the other legal documents that defined what that country is all about. And in America, quite obviously, the Constitution is a very important document. The concept of the Bill of Rights, all of this was established by the people who founded America, that there should be law and order, there should be dinim, court systems, there should be governmental agencies regulating the behavior of the citizens of our country. If we didn't have such a thing, people would literally take advantage. There'd be an anarchy. People would be basically killing one another, hurting one another to get what they want in this world and therefore destroy the other purposes, and so you don't have any competition. Mara Malchus, law and order, was a major need when it comes to the stability of society. And if that's the case, people have to realize there's a din and dayan. There's a judge and their judgments. There's accountability. And this is a major factor in the stability of any type of country, any type of world order. Without dinim, the whole world is crushed. The whole world crumbles. And society literally is destroyed and disappears. What I want to mention right now, if you look what's happening when it comes to this alone in the society of the United States, we have a major problem. The major problem is that the justice system, unfortunately, is under the tutelage of very liberal lawmakers and judges and governmental executives. If people commit murder, people commit rape, people are selling drugs and killing other human beings by them imbibing and eating these foods and drugs that have dangerous chemicals, taking away people's property. When you have this type of activity taking place, rape, murder, and these people are brought into a court for justice, to have liberal judges not punish them, put them in jail, and keep them away from the public at large, but because they're liberal judges, very pro-left attitude when it comes to law and order. They walk in the court, and the next day they're out of the court, back into the street again. There's no Mara Malchus when that's the way the system works. So if there's a rise in all different types of lack of law and order in the United States, the latest FBI information that just came out a couple of days ago tells us that crime is rising in America in a very, very panicking format. People don't feel safe. The other day, a person's walking to shul, and some crazy Arab came out and just started shooting at them for no reason at all, screaming Al Akbar. I mean, how can you survive in a society that you can't even walk down the street minding your own business? But this is happening in America, whether you're Jew or non-Jew, people going into schools and starting shootings, people going to theaters and causing shootings, people going into stadiums and causing shootings. There is a lack of law and order, and the police, unfortunately, are being told, do not use your police power that you have at your ability. If you go overboard, if the people say you harass them in trying to basically prevent them from causing danger to society, the person who is adjudicated and punished is the police person, not the criminal who caused the problem. This is not the din of dinim that the Rabbanu Shalom gave us when it comes to the mitzvah deraisa that applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. The fact that we have a government that opened up its southern border and allowed 15 million plus illegal immigrants to come in all parts of the country, not only to allow them to come in by the border itself, but to have secretive flights in jets, millions of people, and fly them into all different parts of the United States unbeknownst to anybody else, to have them spread throughout the United States. What's happened in all the communities that have been inundated with these illegal immigrants that come from all types of countries, many countries who are enemies of the United States. We know for a fact now that many members of these specific people coming in are part of groups of criminals from other countries who are coming in here now, because in America, since they see there's no law and order, they can operate freely here, where in the countries they were coming from, they were in jail, they were incarcerated, preventing them from harming the society of the countries they came from. Where's the Mara HaMalchus in America? Where's the governmental agencies that are in charge of law and order? Where's the president and vice president of the United States that's supposed to make sure that the entire American public is safe and protected from all types of crime throughout society? That the actual administration of our country is allowing the border to be open and did not shut the border. On the contrary, broke the rules and regulations of previous administrations, which closed our border. Only legal immigration was being basically promoted, which is the way it should be. And said, no, we want indiscriminate, open, illegal immigrants to come in. Where's the law and order? Where's the leadership of America? Where's the leadership of the judiciary? Of the attorney generals and everybody that's around the United States that seems to turn a blind eye? The creation of sanctuary cities where they do not cooperate with the law and order organizations to get rid of the criminals that are in these sanctioned cities. There's literally total craziness, a break of law and order in America that's causing a sakanas nefashos to the millions and millions of honest, wonderful Americans who are trying to live in peace with their fellow human being, to experience the American dream, to have the ability to walk in the street by day and by night, to run if they want to do some exercise. A lot of the stuff we thought we could do without a question is now in question now. How many people were killed by just taking a walk or a run in the street for exercise purposes? How many women have been raped by just going out in the street for a walk or for exercise? The situation has reached a level that God's mandate to us, have dinim, there should be a din and a dayan, has been destroyed with the current administration when it comes to living in the wonderful American United States of America. Something I cry about each and every day. And this is a major problem. This is problem number one. Problem number two. As I mentioned before, America was founded on the Judeo-Christian concepts of theology. There's a God. There's a Bible. There's a divine mandate. The Zionists we are obligated to observe.
You are listening to BensTorah.com.
The administration now and those in charge have promulgated a new type of religion called the woke religion, where the sacred concepts of the Bible are flagrantly violated. God told us in the narrative of last week's Pasha, Bereishis, I created men and women, and man is supposed to marry a woman, and woman is supposed to marry a man. That is the system that God, who created us, set up from the beginning of the creation of the world. God never said that you can decide whether you're a man or woman based upon your inclination at that moment in time. Our biological realities, if we're born with male organs, you're a man. If you're born with female organs, you're a woman. The inclinations do not change that status. For us to now say that we're going to tell little children from preschool and first grade and on, you can determine whether you're a man or a woman. You make the choice. God didn't make a choice in your creation. You can make the choice. Is a total, total theological rejection of the ideals and goals and hashkafas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu contained in our Torah, contained in our Bible. The brainwashing taking place, and what's more destructive, if parents want to object to this type of education and say we want our children to be taught this in school, the government says, no, we make the choice. Very left-wing government will determine what's ethical, moral in society. We will legalize what's going on. If parents object for a child undergoing physiological sex change with sex change operations, if children want to do this because they were brainwashed by their teachers and mentors to do such, and parents object, we will take away the children from the parents and let the children do this on our cheshbon and basically the parents out of the picture. Where is this heard of? The chinuch of children should depend upon the government and not their parents and grandparents. Not based upon the religious values of the family. This is not what America is all about, and this is not what the Zion Mitzvahs are about. To say we don't want the Bible anymore, we want to cut out the book of Bereishis, as the woke advocate said. Whoever wrote that stuff, man or woman, it's not part of our philosophy. Who are they to question God, who created them and the earth that you're standing on, who gives them life each and every day, who gives them the ability to succeed in what they're doing on their daily lives? They're now telling God, we're going to rewrite the rules and regulations to which you created the world and basically gave society the ability to conduct itself as such, causing the woke revolution to take place. Is a violation of arayos. A little secret I want to tell people. Even if you undergo a sex change operation, if you were a male and you now look like a woman, you're still a male. If you're a female and you had yourself changed to look like a man, you're still a woman. The sexual operations do not change who you are and what you are in the world of halacha. And what's even more problematic when you undergo sex operations, the man and woman who do this will no longer be able to promulgate in this world other generations emanating from them. You literally sterilize them and make them incapable of siring children in the future. Sex operations are cosmetic surgery. They don't change the essence of your capacities as a man and woman. It might damage it, but you don't become what the other is based upon your inclinations. To give children all types of drugs to prevent them from developing into a nice, healthy boy or healthy girl, because that's the hashkafa you want them to have. Even giving them these medicines causes them to have the incapacity, if they want to change their mind and don't go through a sexual operation, will cause them to have the inability to have children in the future when they grow up, causes them to have sterility. This is what's going on today in our culture. It is a total destruction of humanity. And what I want to mention, that the Torah says there is an Isser, the Isser called Sirus, biblical mandate, castration. You can't castrate a male or female by damaging the sexual organs. You can't even castrate an animal according to Halacha, based upon biblical mandate in the book of Vayikra. But they are basically making castration a law of the land, at will. Something against the Shem Mitzvah Noach, because Sirus comes under the rules and regulations of the Zaymissus B'nai Noach. Something that unfortunately people don't know, they're not aware of, but this is a major problem that has to be dealt with. It's totally, totally incorrect, opposite of God's desire of creating this world, a bittul of the mitzvah pruvu that applies to all of mankind, and literally a corruption of humanity. When it comes to the concept of the wonderful blessing God gave us to be able to populate the world and bring children into existence, husbands and wives, men and women coming together, God gave them the ability to procreate. Beautiful. What's now very, very politically hot is the concept of abortion. Abortion. If I got pregnant, whether purposely or an accident, according to some, according to the current government in charge, you're basically able to do an abortion at will, not only in the first month, even in the ninth month, and according to certain members of the Democratic Party, the abortion should be permitted even after the child's born, which goes from an abortion to an infanticide. You're literally killing a baby once they're born. This is what's happening in the culture today. Advocating the body is mine, I can do what I want, and therefore I have the right to terminate the baby that's growing in my womb. This is what's advocated by the current governmental people in charge of our government and the lawgivers that are part of that government. And quite obviously, this is a hashkafas olam that they have promulgated and are using this as a political draw to vote for their specific candidates who advocate this. The only problem is, in the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, what people don't realize, and this is a big thing, in Parshas Noach this week, after God killed off the entire world, from Adam to Noach, because of their destructive behavior, their perversion of the Zaymissus B'nai Noach, and their obliteration of them, and the promulgation of all the types of physical, emotional corruption and destruction of one another took place during that period of time. The first topic God discussed with Noach after the flood was over and he and his family came out of the Teva, believe it or not, you look in the Bible, is the concept of murder. I don't want people to murder one another. And what's interesting, in one pasuk I'm going to read right now, from Perek Beis, from Perek in the parasha of Noach, by Sheni over there, it says, Shayfich dam ba'adam dami yeshafeich, ki b'tzelam alakim ases adam. A person who sheds the blood of a human being, their blood will be shed because of committing murder. You violate one of the Zaymis b'nei Noach, Yechai Mises Bezdim. And what's the reason, God says? Because man was created in the image of God. Let me explain to you what that means. What God is telling us as human beings, Jew and non-Jew alike, that Shayfich dam adam ba'adam, our Torah Shabbat tells us in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the famous Tana Rabbi Yishmael, that adam ba'adam is an allusion to babies who are in the uterus of their mother, a human being inside a human being. When you terminate a baby's life in the uterus of its mother, this is Shayfik Dam Adam Ba'adam. You're violating an Isur Deraisa, and according to God, Yechai Mises Bezdin, for having committed murder by destroying that baby's life. What people are not aware of, this prohibition applies to Jew and non-Jew alike. It's an Isur Deraisa, and it is a very severe Isur. Because Chazal tell us, look what God says. When you destroy the baby, you're not just destroying a piece of human flesh growing in your uterus, but we believe, I think even the members of the other major religions on the face of this earth, that when a child is born, there are multiple partners in the child's creation. The parents, the mother and father, supply the physical parts of the creation of human body, the genes that are needed to create humanity, the chromosomes needed to create a baby, 23 chromosomes from the father and 23 from the mother, form the 46 chromosome capsule that is the building block with which the baby ultimately in blastocyst stage connected to the uterus grows in 9 months to become a human being. Parents contribute to the physical creation of the baby. But when it comes to the baby, there's a tzelem elokim, as the parasha said in Parshas Bereishis, that's given to us by God. God gave us a spiritual soul, a piece of God placed into each and every one of us. That ensoulment takes place in uterus before the child is born into this world. So a child, a baby internally, has a piece of God's divine essence animating it and giving it a certain divine quality before the child is even born into this world. When we indiscriminately allow an abortion to be done, because we feel it's our baby, our body can do what we want, we're only one partner in the creation of that child, the mother or the father. There's another partner called God. And when God allows the child to grow, and to grow to become a full-fledged human being, when we are destroying it, we're not just destroying our own flesh and blood, the only materials we gave the child, but the neshama that God put into this child, the soul that God gave to this baby, internally, that tzelem elokim, we are destroying it with our hands. We're challenging God's ability to have his tzelem elokim imprinted in the child and for the child to come into this world to use those godly talents to make the world a better place to live. The Zohar says you're destroying the creation of God by performing an illegitimate abortion. And believe it or not, in our society, this has become a major political point. I'm only going to vote for a candidate who allows unlimited abortions. If you say abortion is not permitted all times, but on only certain occasions, for instance,
in Jewish law and non-Jewish law, technically, according to B'nai Noach halacha and Torah halacha, there's a concept of a therapeutic abortion. If the mother's life is at stake, if the birth continues, the mother will die because of it. Biblically, halachically, in Jewish law and B'nai Noach halacha, you can perform a therapeutic abortion to destroy the baby before it destroys its mother at the time of birth. Biblical mandate. B'nai Noach halacha and Torah halacha. When it comes to rape and other things like this, there's even permission. If the person who's raped wants to commit suicide because they can't bear the thought of carrying a person who was put upon them by a rape situation, and they're going to take their life because they just can't bear this type of burden, that's also pikuach nefesh, psychological, that would allow, according to many poskim, for you to do an abortion. But there's a reason, because pikuach nefesh of the mother, like any pikuach nefesh, overrides the other mitzvahs, commandments contained in the Torah. But to do an abortion indiscriminately, and to make an entire political war about this, and for people who are religious people to go and say, we're going to vote for this candidate because they allow unlimited abortions, and the other group does not. Where is the ethics and morals of the Judeo-Christian society upon which America was founded many, many years ago? I will tell you right now that when it comes to the religions, Christianity, all forms of Christianity, all halachic forms of Judaism, we do not advocate unlimited abortions. We prohibit it. And to make this into a political topic to determine who you're going to vote for is simply incomprehensible. It has nothing to do with women's rights. And I'll tell you a little secret. According to Jewish law, and perhaps even according to non-Jewish law, for you to do anything to endanger your own body, to destroy yourself, to commit suicide, or to harm your body, is biblically prohibited. It's your body. But our sages tell us, your body and soul don't belong to you as a personal possession. Maimonides says, your body and soul belongs to God, and he gave it to you in this world to do good things with it, to do productive things with it, to make a contribution to society. He didn't give you a body and soul for you to destroy it with your hands, even if you don't kill yourself, to harm yourself, to wound yourself, to cripple yourself. That you have no permission to do. So how in the world do you think you have a right to take a baby from your womb and kill it outright because that's part of your body? If you can't wound your body, how can you kill the baby contained inside? Totally incomprehensible, but many people are ignorant of this. Where has our society gone? Where's the ethics and moral of this specific society? The problem we have is even when it comes to the world politic of our country. America used to be called the greatest nation on the face of this earth. The Moira Malchus, created by America, vis-a-vis the world at large, helped stabilize the world, prevented atomic wars, because America had the most powerful army on the face of this earth, the most sophisticated weaponry, and therefore that prevented evil actors from other countries who don't have our ethic and moral values. It prevented them from starting wars indiscriminately on the face of this planet. Unfortunately, under the current government, there's no Moira Malchus to the world at large. Countries that up until now wouldn't have the chutzpah to attack one another. They have no fear now because they realize there's no repercussions. If you do something wrong, don't do that anymore. Don't. But that does not cause fear and trepidation in people who are crazy and evil, who want to harm other people, want to harm other countries for their own personal benefit. The Malchus of international politic of the American society has been damaged by the current administration. So in summary, when you look at the political landscape today, and we're dealing with an election that's going to take place 7 days from now, what's at stake, my dear Jewish brethren and sisters, is the obliteration of the Constitution of America, the Bill of Rights to be eliminated, the prosperity of our country that comes to the economy has been totally destroyed because of the economic policies that are totally counterproductive to the reality of how an actual economy is supposed to be run, to demand, because of the concern of the ultimate climate, that everything has to be electrified when we don't have the capacity to electrify all our equipment and our cars and our homes and everything in society. We don't have that type of ability. And to say it has to take place because we want to clean up the environment, it's not a reality. The law and order, where you have liberal justices and judges and attorney generals, they'll use lawfare against one another, one party against another party, who use lawfare against its citizens, who try to have the power to let illegal immigrants into the country against the will of the people of America, and to not punish them when they commit a crime, and let them come in the court and the next day out of the court. The whole stability and survival of the American society is at stake. When it comes to this election in 7 days, I still cannot comprehend how it can be supposedly a close election. When you look at the Democrat platform and the Republican platform, all the negatives I mentioned up until now in this entire drash and shir this morning was the platform of the current government, which is the Democratic platform. Total permissibility of abortion at will. Total ability to have an open border, no matter who wants to come in, come right in. And once they come in, to give them the ability as an illegal immigrant to vote who's going to be the future president of the United States. It's happening right now. How many ballots are being discovered with people who are illegal immigrants wanting to vote for the next president of the United States? The liberal judges, when it comes to the courts, there's no law and order, no mara hamalchus. Ish is chaver chayim below. Whoever thought we would see in the streets of New York City, police was trying to stop a gang, an illegal gang coming from a foreign entity, that the cops are beaten up in the public. You see it on tape. That those criminals should not be put in prison and incarcerated and thrown out of America. No, the judges under the Democratic Party, let them go. How do we understand this? Literally, Mara Malchus, no consequences. The economy is literally collapsing. People can't even buy food. America? You can't buy food anymore. It's too expensive. The gas of our cars, our machines, is too high to buy gas. Everything that is being sold in America because, unfortunately, the inflation that was caused by the policies of the Democratic administration has literally made America a dysfunctional entity at this point in time. The Republicans have a total opposite game plan. There are limits when it comes to abortion. What I mentioned before, there are concepts of law and order that if you commit a crime, you're punished for it and you're incarcerated and perhaps even thrown out of the country for trying to come to this country and cause crime to exist. There's a din ve'dayim. There's ethics and morals. Rapists don't go free. Murderers do not go free. Sanctuary cities should not exist. How many great cities in America have been destroyed and undermined because of sanctuary cities? Look at New York City. Can you walk in the streets? Look at San Francisco, Los Angeles. Some of the major cities. The sanctuary city concept has literally destroyed the law and order of these cities and has literally put in it criminals walking the face of the city streets without any type of accountability. Besides all the illegal drugs that are coming because of an open border, how many boys and girls, men and women are dying because of the fentanyl and other types of illegal drugs that are now available and being sold in America itself. I don't understand how anybody can vote as a Democrat now. The only logical return to what America was, going back to its founding, are the principles being articulated by the Republican representatives of our government. They've fallen within the line of the halacha of the Zaymitzis B'nai Noach. A Torah Jew, by logic, could only vote Republican. They can't vote Democrat. That's because we hate the Democrats, but the policies they are promulgating now are totally anti-Torah, anti-Bible, anti the Judeo-Christian creed, against the Constitution, against the Bill of Rights. I don't know what the Havamin is to vote anything but Republican. The survival of America is at stake. And people have to understand this. You cannot just not vote. I don't like the personality of the candidates. It's not a personality candidate war. It's a reality check. What are their concepts of how you run a country, how you run a judiciary, how you have the people of your specific country protected, their civil rights protected, the ability to walk in the street and to flourish on all types of levels, religiously, spiritually, economically. All of this is at stake at this point in time. And therefore, I advocate, as the Gedolim, or going back to our motion, others point out, when you have an election taking place, there is a mandate to vote for what you feel is right, according to your ideals and goals, as a mitzvah to vote to make sure that the Zaymitzvah B'nai Noach will be fulfilled according to the Torah script, the way God wanted it, going back to B'riyat Olam. There's no question, as a posik in my mind, that the only platform that fulfills the Zaymitzvah B'nai Noach, the way God gave it to us, are the Republican mandates. The Trump, who is now the head of the Republican Party, is promulgating this. This is not a test of Trump. Trump and his administration over 4 years ago, showed in the years he was president, he advocated these principles. There was law and order in America. There was stability in America. There was economic prosperity in America. There was the Mar HaMalchus in America. The nations of the world feared us. And therefore we didn't have wars breaking out all over Europe and the Mideast. What Iran and its cohorts have done in the last couple of years did not happen when Trump was there, because he knew how to control them. His policies were definitive. There's a fear of him. There's a reason Iran and Russia and China and North Korea don't want him to be elected, because they realize if he's elected, the law and order of the world that existed over 4 years ago is going to come back to place. And they're not going to have a hefkeros, the ability to cause world tumult, because there are going to be consequences. We're now standing in front of Bezdin Shomayla, and God is telling us, you got a very clear choice over here. Bechata Bechayim, choose that administration that's going to give you real life based upon Torah principles, biblical principles, according to what God wanted us to do to maintain society as we relate to God and the way we relate to society as it comes to our fellow human being. There's not a close type of choice. These are two opposite ideologies. Look at the history on a political level of the two campaigning presidential candidates. Look at Trump's historical record and look at Harris's record. They're miles, miles away from each other. Any common sense human being has to realize that the policies of the Republicans and Trump are what's following the Bible, God's wishes, and what God wants to be when it comes to stability of a world and the stability of the United States. The other option is unthinkable. God give us the ability to win this election, but everybody has to vote. Every vote counts. Even in New York State, vis-a-vis the popular vote, it counts. I know many great rebbes already told their constituencies, I want you to vote for the Republicans and Trump. Supposedly the Satmar Rebbe told his Hasidim the other day, that's the only type of candidacy we can have for Torah and the Hashkafas of Torah to continue in America and to the world. That's an important concept. Because in the past, many times Satmar voted democratically. This election around, you have to vote Republican. Churches and shuls might not be able to say it from the pulpit. I'm not a pulpit rabbi. I'm a simple citizen, a rav, but I have to read you the reality check over here, that you have to understand what are the issues over here. It's perhaps one of the most consequential elections that are ever going to take place in America at this point in time. We're at a crossroads. Are we going to go right or left? Let's hope and pray people will make the right choice. The right candidate will win. The right party will come into power. And all these crazy things I mentioned before, the woke, illegal immigrants, the destruction of our economy, and all the other concerns that people have over here will be eliminated once and for all, and the pure, spiritual, ethical, moral America come back into place to bring prosperity, happiness, and spirituality and love to all members of the American society.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.